Live Mike.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it is time once again for another edition of the Live Mike Podcast. My name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor behind thesteelcurtain.com, and we're bringing it to you again just on the other side of the bye week here. Pittsburgh Steelers football is back after that short absence, and we are taking on the Cleveland Browns. Boy, it feels good to get through a week without Steelers football. It makes you really appreciate when the team's on TV, regardless of that emotional roller coaster they put you on. But definitely missed it this past Sunday. The Steelers, of course, will be back on taking on the Cleveland Browns this weekend in what is, of course, a monstrous affair. Not only is redemption on the mind, but just standings here in 2021, big time on the line. Knocking off the Browns pulls the Steelers out of last place of the AFC North, puts them into a playoff spot, and keeps them on a very positive roll heading towards the playoffs. And really, a playoff push starts with a win here this Sunday. You're going to get tons of content about this over on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com and our entire network of podcasts, of course. This is a massive game. I'm going to take things on a slightly different perspective this week and focus on the AFC North as a whole. Right now, it seems like any which team could take this division. I know if you asked a Ravens or Bengals fan, they certainly wouldn't lump the Steelers in there. But right now, if we're being honest with ourselves and we're looking at this team and what they can do, I generally think this is a four-horse race to win the AFC North, especially if the Pittsburgh Steelers can win on Sunday. I know they've had their struggles, I know they've had their warts, but there is a path to win this division, and a lot of that comes down to what I think of the other two teams ahead of the Steelers. Now, today's show, we're going to be ranking the hierarchy of this team, and if we got a little bit more time, just kind of take a look at some other odds and ends around with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but ranking this division as a whole. We'll break this down into alphabetical order here. Now, first and foremost, the Baltimore Ravens at the top. To be honest, I've been very, very vocal about this team being one of the most overrated teams in football. They were in first place, the AFC, for a few weeks in a row here. But genuinely to me, I've stood by this the entire time. I think they're an overrated football team. And what happens when the Cincinnati Bengals roll into town on Sunday? They absolutely steamroll them. The Bengals took care of business the way I think a lot of teams should handle the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they have Lamar Jackson at quarterback, but generally, a ton of the talent begins and ends right there. The Ravens don't have a good offensive line. The running backs are basically all injured. The receivers aren't good. They have a great tight end in Mark Andrews, but that's it for the offense. Defensively, their defensive line is all old guys, and Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, they're not what they used to be. Odafe Oye, I know he's a great story as a pass rusher, but to me, in the run game, he seems like he's one of the guys you want to run the football at. He's done some good things in the past, but I genuinely haven't been that impressed. I think Justin Houston's been okay, but again, he's one of those old guys. Their linebackers, again, like, there's nothing that jumps off the paper to me. And to be fair, I think they have good corners. Their safeties are just okay, but I think they have good corners. But generally, when you look at this team, there's nothing that impresses me. If it wasn't for Lamar Jackson and Justin Tucker, this team could quite easily have a losing record, and have a losing record by far. And really, with the team they have, they could quite easily be, what, a 2-5 team at this point. They just haven't been impressive at all. They barely got past the Detroit Lions. They fluked their way to some victories late. The Indianapolis Colts completely collapsed against them. The Ravens should be thanking their lucky stars. They're 5-2. There's really no reason they should be there. And one of the reasons why I've hammered them being overrated all year long, they fluked their way to victories, and really a game-winning field goal away from against one of the worst teams in the league to an embarrassing loss, but all of a sudden one of those Hall of Fame level type plays from a kicker, and that's not the message coming out of that game at all. Now, for the rest of this team, I just don't think the Baltimore Ravens are the team at the top of the of this division. I very much don't think they're going to finish there, and I still think they are. They won't finish second. I think they come around in third place in the AFC North, and I genuinely believe that. And I should really hammer home the fact right now that this team in general. This whole viewpoint, not just this team, this division, I should say, we're ranking them right now. What these teams are, what they are with these injuries, and what they look like the rest of the way out here. The next team I want to touch on is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals, because, of course, they just knocked off those Baltimore Ravens. Cincinnati was a team that I think a lot of us viewed at the bottom of the division. And really, for a decent reason, their offensive line was okay, better than last year. We didn't know what Joe Burrow was going to be coming off that major knee injury, one of the worst knee injuries really a player's come back from, especially within 1 year doing all the damage he did. He's looked great. Jamar Chase has been an unbelievable story for them, on top of their unbelievable receiving core, as it is in T. Higgins and Travis Boyd. Joe Mixon still looks like a fierce runner despite getting older. CJ Uzuma has been one of the best tight ends in football this year. Their offense is a force, and generally one of the best in the NFL. And we cannot overlook that anymore. The Bengals, they're legit, especially in offense. On defense, Trey Hendrickson's doing his thing. Their linebackers are doing their thing. Mike Hilton's looked really good. He seemed to re-energize that secondary, much in the way that he did for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, I think the Bengals are the best team in the AFC North. And I don't really think it's one of those things you can argue that much. And I know Browns fans will raise their stink, but with their injuries, there's no way they're up there right now. And really, I feel like this show is going to end up being more of a hot take show. But just in my genuine opinion, I think the Cincinnati Bengals are the best team in the AFC North, at least right now. They got to prove, of course, being a young team, they can continue to win down the stretch, which is one of those tough things for young teams, especially with young quarterbacks, young coaching staffs. It takes time. Typically, you see these great teams when they go on to become contenders, needing a year before they can take that real championship level step. So maybe the 2022-23 Bengals, maybe that's one we should fear extremely as being a real threat at taking the AFC crown. But right now, at the very least, they're one of the better teams in this conference. And right now, to me, sitting in the driver's seat in the division. Now, the other team that is in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and to recap here, I got the Bengals in the top spot, and I have the Ravens in the third slot. So the next team I think we need to break down here is the Cleveland Browns, before we get to our very own Pittsburgh Steelers. The Cleveland Browns, of course, the Steelers are taking them on in a week's time, or this Sunday's date, but this game in general against this team, the Cleveland Browns are badly beat up. One of the longest injury reports in the history of football since these things have been reported, if not the most banged up team there is. Nick Chubb is coming back, expected back, I should say, unless there is a setback, which typically means they will play. But Nick Chubb is going to be the focal point of this offense. Baker Mayfield, right now, looks like he's going to be out for a very long length of time. Really, you look at the rest of this offense, Kareem Hunt is hurt, the offensive line's getting dinged up, the tight ends haven't been quite there with Hooper and Njoku, they haven't been super, super impressive. They've had some decent games, but nothing that you fear. Jarvis Landry's been up and down because of injury. Odell Beckham Jr. is battling that shoulder injury, and outside of that, even though he's played, he's been a non-factor for this offense. It's almost like, and really something I've been saying after that first year Odell's been in Cleveland, it might be an addition by subtraction type thing, because he is not a focal point of that offense at all, and they're just wasting a ton of money and a star player, really, by just leaving him out there and not getting him the ball at all. Odell Beckham, he's one of those guys that desperately needs a change of scenery. This offense is not what it was, and especially with these injuries, are prime for the picking. Defensively, we know Myles Garrett is a beast. Yeah, we know that, period, point blank. With Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah missing time, those linebackers for the Browns, really aren't that special. The defensive line, outside of Garrett, nothing is that amazing. Jadeveon Clowney's having a bit of a bounce back year, but a lot of that's just due to the part that the rest of the guys around him are, specifically Myles Garrett, are just that much better. And the DBs, again, they've been fine, but I wouldn't say they were as good as they were a season ago. I think there's some real holes in this Brown team, and as long as they're going to be fighting this injury bug, which on paper right now is going to be for at least a few more weeks, they're the bottom team in the AFC. And right now, you hearing this, I know pretty much everyone picked the Browns as the winner of the AFC North, especially like, even Steeler fans have been doing it, but right now, if they can't get out of this hole, yes, I know that they pulled off a victory against the Broncos with these injuries, but and honest to God, I think this is a team that's primed for the picking and could work their way down to that Browns position in the AFC North, their usual home fourth place. If they can't get healthy, they're not a team that scares me in the slightest. So right now, of course, we'll get to the Steelers side of things in the second half of the show, but just looking at the rankings of this division right now, I have the Bengals at the top. Obviously, the Steelers would come in at number two, and that's for as critical as I've been on them all year long. And I'll get to that more on the second half. Number three, I have the Baltimore Ravens, who I swear is the most overrated team in football, and that's including the Kansas City Chiefs, who have been absolutely putrid this year, and then the Cleveland Browns at the bottom. Who would have thought that this is where the division would be, 7 weeks into the year? But generally, I believe that's the way it will shake up if things continue to trend in the direction they are. The Bengals have been unbelievable offensively. I think their defense shows potential, and their play calling has been very, very good too. They got some chemistry with their young guys. They're a team that is going to be deadly this year, but very much so next year. They are the team to watch in the AFC North moving forward, at the very least, especially with Joe Burrow and that rookie contract, which if you followed me for any length of time, you know that I am a firm believer that teams are in their championship window when you have a rookie quarterback on that. I shouldn't say rookie quarterback, a quarterback on the rookie deal those first 5 years. You just have all that extra salary space, and you're a contender when your quarterback is 3 or 4 years. Once again, that franchise guy is in that second deal, but nearing the end when typically those numbers drop and you can beef up the team around him. So the Bengals having Joe Burrow on that cheap dime, that's going to make them a contender for at least the next 3 years after this, before they'll have to reshuffle their team largely to fit in that mega deal of Joe Burrow, which of course will be a few years down the road. And then again, the Cleveland Browns at the bottom, which I know people are going to come after me for, but you look at this team right now, they're beat up, they're underperforming to a degree, and I really think it is a team that could be taken advantage of in this division, and a team I think the Steelers should very much beat this year, this week, in the dog pound of Cleveland. So we'll get into more reasons why I believe the Steelers are the second place team in the AFC North in just a minute. We'll be right back with the second half of the Live Mic. Don't go anywhere. Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time for the second half of the show. Once again, my name is Michael Beck. If you like what you're listening to here today and want to continue this conversation with me, you can always go ahead and follow me on Twitter at MichaelBeck56. Love interacting with each and every one of you, and possibly answer some of your questions on the podcast if you shoot me some. I love being able to give you guys the content that you deserve and the content you want. So you can always always go ahead and do that. But to get back into the theme of today's show and ranking the AFC North, of course, I broke down the other teams in the first half. But the team, of course, we're all here to talk about and learn about is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now I just want to offer my opinions as to why I think the Steelers, despite some bumpy roads at the start of the season, are still the number two team in the AFC North. Basically, it all comes down to the defense and the offense really starting to lean into what their identity always should be. Now, starting off with the offense and that identity, clearly what I mean by that is the Steelers now figuring out this offense needs to flow through Najee Harris. This was huge. This was always going to be something that the Steelers needed to do if Ben Roethlisberger wasn't going to be the !! He is not the focal point of this team anymore, and I think it'd be foolish for any team to think that a franchise quarterback that's getting a little gray in the hair and long in the tooth is still going to be the guy to drag you to win after win, unless that guy is a freak of nature named Tom Brady. Ben Roethlisberger is not that. I think we can all be adults about it and realize that that's not quite the situation we are faced with Big Ben. Despite that, Big Ben is still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. He's still a middle 16 type guy. I know some analysts will rate him as low, closer to 24. Some will try to rate him lower, but that really isn't fair. I'm not going to put him in the top 10, but he's definitely still, in my opinion, a guy you take over a handful of other starters in the NFL. There's nothing wrong with that. That necessarily really isn't going to be enough to win you a championship alone. But the Steelers have made the moves to get the right guys involved and become the focal point of the offense. And the Steelers the last 2 weeks have gotten the running game going against the Seattle Seahawks and Denver Broncos. And that running game is going to be what the Steelers need to go far this year. And so far, this offensive line's been improving to a degree that this run game's gotten more open holes and let Najee Harris do Najee Harris type things. And the Steelers are going to have to continue to do that all year long and really are going to be dependent on the rookie running back being healthy moving forward here, which of course all comes down a little bit of luck, especially with the running back position, but that's what the Steelers are faced with. The rest of the offense, Ben Roethlisberger just needs to handle the football correctly. He can't be forcing turnovers, and really he hasn't done that as much, especially against the Seahawks and Broncos. Yes, it still happens. That's what's going to happen. We have an old gunslinger at QB. It's just a nature of the game, but if Ben can have one or zero turnovers per game, I would be fairly confident the Steelers are walking out more successful than not. And really, these skill players are a huge reason why I'm still a believer in this offense to a degree. Now, I know they're never going to be the number one offense when it comes to yards or scoring, but that's okay. We'll get into reasons in a moment why they don't exactly need that, but the rest of this offense in general, I really like this tight end group in Pat Freiermuth, Eric Ebron, and Zach Gentry. They all bring something to this offense that I think the Steelers haven't exploited enough, but once they do, this offense will take another step forward. Freiermuth, I think, is one of those special receiving tight ends that still has a little bit of grit and blocking ability to his game. That could be something really, really special, and genuinely, I think if the Steelers had a different quarterback in the future, because, of course, Ben's not going to be here forever. Definitely won't be here throughout the entirety of Freiermuth's career. More of these younger guys are more willing to throw to tight ends, unlike Big Ben has throughout his career. Even though I know I've talked about a lot, Heath Miller's never been a guy that that Ben Roethlisberger got the ball to dozens of times per game, despite having talent that could argue that necessary. And I know the Steelers have had tons of talent across the offense that wasn't necessary, but I think Freiermuth is a special guy that the Steelers have right now that hopefully Ben starts throwing the ball to more, especially after he can build off that Seahawks game where he got 7 targets and picked up 7 receptions. That is big dog type stuff. The receivers, too, I think Deontay Johnson's kind of figured out the old hands. He's catching everything seemingly this year and is clearly Ben Roethlisberger's number one guy. If Chase Claypool can figure out those 50-50 balls and start catching more of them than not, or at least actually catching them at a 50-50 rate, this offense will again take another step. He's not been coming down with a lot of these passes that you would expect him to. Something that we saw Michael Pittman Jr. do in that Sunday nighter against the San Francisco 49ers, going up, jumping over a guy, hauling it down, and then finishing the run for a touchdown. Chase really hasn't done too much of that, and really hasn't done much of that here in his sophomore season. He needs to add that to his game, especially being such a big-bodied receiver as it is. And the rest of the receiving core, James Washington, Anthony Miller, Cody White, whoever happens to be on the game, they just need to be able to take care of their own business, catch the football. And I'm not worried about a whole lot more than that. But I still think the Steelers have guys that can do exactly that. Now, getting to the reasons why I don't think the Steelers need to be that red-hot dynamic offense to win a ton of football games, well, really, it's quite simple. The Steelers right now are a team, when you look around their defense, it's clearly the strength of this team. T.J. Watt is an absolute game-changing animal. It forces the Steelers, or Steelers opposition, whoever it may be, to get rid of the ball a whole heck of a lot sooner when he's in the game. Cam Hayward's perhaps having the best season of his career, despite being into his 30s by a couple years now. He has been a stud. And Stephon Tuitt will be coming back, and that will just add another dimension to this team and really eat away team's ability to run the football at all against this front. And then Alex Highsmith and Melvin Ingram on the other side have done some pretty positive, nice things as well that I think Steeler fans should be excited about. Now, going past that, too, I think this team on defense has a lot of the right pieces in its defensive backfield. Joe Hayden's showing that vet savvy. He's put together another great year for him, and you just hope he can continue to do that week in, week out. And there's no reason why he won't get another NFL contract, of course, him being a free agent this upcoming offseason. Cam Sutton has showed to be more than capable of holding down that outside corner spot, and I think he's proved a lot of that, especially that time he missed. When other guys were playing there, the Steelers just weren't good enough. And when Cam Sutton's playing, they're definitely a better team with him playing that opposite corner to Joe Hayden. Another pleasant surprise in that DB room is Trey Norwood. Typically, you don't expect nothing from a Pittsburgh Steelers 7th-round draft pick, but Norwood has been an absolute stud for these Pittsburgh Steelers. He's coming down making tackles against big bodies like DK Metcalf. He's knocking the ball down. He's been one of the highest-rated rookie defensive backs in football as a 7th-round pick. Huge. That's crazy value. And when you start hitting on picks in the late round, that's when you start building championship teams. And if the Steelers can continue to do that and find more guys like they did Trey Norwood, look out, because this team could have a very bright future ahead of them. And of course, Minkah Fitzpatrick, we know how talented he is. Teams are flat out not throwing him the ball. But Minkah's still saying, hey, if you're not going to throw the ball at me, I'm going to hunt the football regardless. He is leading this team in tackles, which is something you don't typically want from a free safety. But he is reading plays, diagnosing where the ball is going, which is away from him. And he's not getting those interception numbers probably ever again. But because of it, they're slicing half the field. And Minkah's just been able to hunt receivers and build up tackles with ease. Now, his running mate Terrell Edmonds is also in the middle of the best year of his career, and I feel quite comfortable in saying that. Has he missed a tackle here and there? Sure. Has he gotten beat a couple times? Yeah, kind of, but he has been shut down on tight ends. He's been a fairly sure tackler. I honestly think he is someone who's deserving another contract, whether or not that's in Pittsburgh, but just another reason why the Steelers defense has been as good as it was or has been. And then lastly, those inside linebackers. I don't really think Devin Bush, Joe Schobert, or Robert Spillane have been overly impressive, but they've still gotten the job done most of the time. I think Schobert has shown flashes of extreme excellence in that coverage game for a linebacker, and I think Devin Bush has shown flashes of his old self, but until he gains 100% confidence in his knee, it's hard for me to get there with him. But he definitely definitely can be that player we've seen from him in years prior. It's still in there, and you can see that every now and then, but he's still just got to build up that confidence in himself. So the Steelers, the combination of offense and defense, they have just enough offense to win games, and they have more than enough defense to hold opponents to minimal scores. If they can just continue to do what they've been doing against the Seahawks and the Broncos, they will be a pretty successful team this season. And that's kind of the huge reason why I have them in that number two slot. I think they have more than enough in a couple spots to win these games. I generally think they can beat the Ravens both home and away. I think they can take down the beat up Browns team here. I think they can beat the Browns again late in the season when they come to Heinz Field. It was either week 17 or 18 for that matchup. One of my bold predictions going back a week ago before the Bengals knocked off the Ravens was the Steelers would finish 4-2 in the AFC North in their standings. Two of those wins come against the Baltimore Ravens, the other two coming against the Cleveland Browns, and both losses coming to the Cincinnati Bengals, who all of a sudden seem like they have the Pittsburgh Steelers number. And right now I feel pretty confident in these predictions, and I think the AFC North will go, and once again a recap, will go as followed: the Cincinnati Bengals sitting in that one slot, the Steelers in the two slot, the Ravens in the three, and the Browns in the four. Yes, I said that. You can roast me at the end of the year if I'm wrong, but you're dang right. I'll probably be bringing this up if that's exactly how it falls. But I have a feeling that that's the way this cookie crumbles. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning into today's show, this edition of the Live Mike. It's always a pleasure breaking things down for you. And before we let you out of here, I just want to remind you to click over to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Should be your one-stop shop for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, from film rooms to commentary, breaking news, you name it, it is available there at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And not only that, just make sure you're checking out the entire family podcast. There's tons of content here for you. The more you listen, the more you like, subscribe, 5 stars, the more easy it is for us to bring you even more of that content. So once again, thank you for tuning in today's edition of the Live Mike. My name's been Michael Beck, and we'll catch you next week.